Good morning. Here's the check of farm news this hour from the KGLO Farm Desk on Tuesday, August 13th. I'm Jesse Stewart reporting. In a special report, saving money on the farm may not be as hard as you think. Michael Clements has more in this report.
Farming is big business and nowadays comes with big cost. Fortunately, there are many ways farms can save money, and much of the practices for consumers to save money can translate to savings for the farm or rural business. AARP Oklahoma State Director Sean Voskel says the opportunities to save money on daily purchases are endless.
When it comes to big expenses, farmers know to find ways to lower costs on seed with early purchases, or to renegotiate rental rates when necessary, and to fine-tune crop inputs. But the many little expenses around the farm we often don't think about can add up to big savings with a little extra work. From energy savings to discounts, we have several tips that can help the consumer and the farmer.
For the day-to-day expenses around the farm, Voskel offers ways to save money.
Buy parts and other products such as oil and oil filters in bulk. Tires can often be found cheaper online. And find the best day to purchase items like fuel. Gas Buddy data shows Monday is the best day to fill up. It may be different for bulk fuels if you're looking to fill up the fuel barrel before harvest, but you can get all the trucks ready with the practice that saves consumers more than $300 a year.
Voskel says to also think about lighting around the farm, including the farmhouse and other buildings.
The average home has 45 light bulbs. It's hard to imagine just how many are on the farm, from the barn, shop, and other outbuildings, but replacing those lights with LED light bulbs in the average home can cut your annual energy bill by $300. Depending on the buildings around that farm, that could mean a big savings each year. Just remember, shop around for everything and look for ways to save.
Learn more ways to save Thursday night at 9 p.m. Central Time on RFD-TV or online at aarp.org/AARP Live. Michael Clements reporting.
There's no end in sight to the trade dispute between the United States and China. Dan Yutzo is an international trade lawyer with Dickinson & Wright in Columbus, Ohio. He says trade disputes like this are issues that typically don't get worked out quickly.
They certainly are not short term. The idea that there's any short term resolution to this issue is unrealistic. We're talking about structural change within China, and we're talking about structural change in the relationship with the United States and China as well. Again, the folks that are getting whiplashed in all of this are farmers.
Yutzo talks about the lesson that U.S. agriculture may be learning as a result of the trade dispute.
I think one of the lessons of the last couple of years is we became, as the agriculture community, we became too reliant on China. It's just so tantalizing, a huge market potential there. And what we need to do is start looking for those other options. So I think the best case scenario is we may see some directed purchases. What President Trump has been saying is coming from China. I would say that's about the best we're going to get through 2019.
There is a way to get China and the U.S. back to the table, but it will require both sides to walk back on some of their recent rhetoric.
China will finally come back to the table and say those commitments that we made this spring about, I forget what the magic number is, but those purchases that we promised to buy from the United States to get us back to the table, we'll go ahead and make those, but you have to roll back these latest tariffs. I think that that could happen. The other silver lining, I think, for the agricultural community is we are moving quickly on a deal with Japan.
A deal with Japan on agriculture and automobiles would be a big boost to the struggling U.S. ag sector.
I think all of this trade uncertainty with China has really placed a premium on our ability to do an agricultural and automotive deal with Japan quickly. The deal that they're looking at will not require authorization by Congress, at least not now. If you look at the 12 Trans-Pacific Partnership countries, we have trade deals with, I believe, six of those already. Of the remaining countries that we don't have trade deals with, Japan is 90% of what's missing. I think it's 92%.
Yutzo says there are two big things that U.S. agriculture should be working on right now.
I'd say there are two major priorities for the ag community right now, and it's kind of 1A and 1B. 1A is to get USMCA through Congress to make sure that we have those markets in Mexico secure, and Mexico as the gateway to the rest of the Americas. We got to get that done yesterday. And 1B is getting this trade deal with Japan. That way our agricultural producers can go. I don't think China works itself out, and I certainly don't think Europe works itself out in the short term.
That's comments from international trade lawyer Dan Yutzo with Dickinson & Wright in Columbus, Ohio. The U.S. Department of Agriculture released its 2019 land values survey that showed land values nationwide are on the rise. However, the American Farm Bureau Federation says that's not entirely the case. Farm Bureau notes in its own market intel analysis that land values and farm rents have gone in the opposite direction in certain parts of the country. Many of the areas with declining agricultural land values and cash rents over the past half decade are found in the Midwest, where a prolonged downturn in crop and livestock prices has reduced net cash income, says Farm Bureau's chief economist John Newton. Around the rest of the country, Newton says agricultural land values were the highest in states near urban areas, such as Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and California. The USDA report says the U.S. farm real estate value averaged $3,160 per acre, which includes the value of all the land and buildings on farms. That's a rise of $60 per acre, or 1.9% over 2018. The U.S. cropland value averaged $4,100 per acre, $50 per acre higher over the previous year, or a jump of 1.2%. 62% of ag lenders across the Minneapolis Fed District say that farm incomes across the district decreased through the second quarter of 2019 when compared to last year. Only 8% say that farm incomes have increased. Capital spending was also down in the second quarter, with 64% of lenders reporting spending had dropped, while just 5% say it increased. A Wisconsin banker wrote in the survey that crops are behind and we will need warmer weather and an extended fall for our crops. Yields have been affected and will be lower in our area. However, that same banker did say with improved crop prices, farmers are in a better position than they've been in for the last 3 years. The survey also shows that falling farm incomes have pushed loan repayment rates down slightly, while renewals and extensions increased. Respondents did note that cropland values did increase slightly. While the third quarter outlook is for continued contraction in the ag sector, fewer survey respondents predicted decreasing income, capital expenditures, and household spending over the next 3 months than they did in the last 3 months. States in the Minneapolis Fed District include Minnesota, Montana, North and South Dakota, Northwest Wisconsin, and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. That's a look at farm news this hour on AM 1300 KGLO. Find more on demand at KGLOAM.com under the farm news section. From the KGLO Farm Desk, I'm Jesse Stewart reporting.